Well, good morning. Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here this morning. I guess we're already kind of introduced, so that's us up there. But we're Daniel and Naomi Elliott. We are just this last year, we're appointed with Evangelical Church Missions to go to the country of Bolivia, which is exciting for me because I was born and raised in Bolivia. If you're not aware, my dad and mom have been in Bolivia for about 30 years, and my grandfather was actually the pastor of this church when my dad was still living at home, and so it's exciting for us to be back here. Okay, go ahead to the next slide. What are we going to be doing when we're in Bolivia? Briefly, we will both have to do some language training still, getting used to the culture. But then our main purpose in going to Bolivia is to reach out to about 170 orphans living in the countryside of a state, or there they call them departments, of Potosí. And so that's what our main focus in our ministry is going to be, is determining what steps need to be taken to help reach out to these kids. People ask us, when are you going to get to go to Bolivia? We're hoping to be able to go later this year, hopefully in the fall. I still have summer up there. That's my dream, my timing. But more realistically, probably this fall is when we'll be able to come. And it depends on, of course, how quickly we raise our support. But that's our timetable for now. And then going on then, the next slide. If you don't know where Bolivia is, it's in South America. It's in the middle of the continent. It's where that red circle is. It's been called the heart of South America before, but one of two landlocked countries in Bolivia. And then the next slide, we have some facts just about Bolivia. It's named after Simon Bolivar, who's known as the liberator of Latin America, named in his honor. Bolivia is the size of California and Texas combined, if you want an idea of how big the country is. Its main languages are Spanish, Aymara, and Quechua. Bolivia is fairly unique in that it has three official languages. And those two, the Spanish, of course, is from the Spanish conquistadors who came over and colonized South America. Quechua is a language that is descended from the Inca people. And then Aymara is a language spoken by a people group who predate the Incas, who have been there before the Incan Empire rose to power in South America. They were conquered by the Incas, but were never assimilated into the culture. So they've maintained their culture, their identity, and because of that, they are a fairly proud people. Where we're going, it's interesting that it's one of the few places in Bolivia where all three of those languages are spoken commonly, and so that could be a little bit of an extra challenge to us there. But Bolivia then has a population of about 10 million people, and over half of those are living in poverty, and many of those living in poverty are children. So just some quick facts. In Bolivia then, I think the next picture, here's a picture of, or a map of Bolivia, and the red circle again is where we'll be working specifically in the country. It's just south of a city called Cochabamba. Cochabamba is where we have two missionary families living now. They're living and working there. That's where we will be living, at least in the beginning of our time in Bolivia, as we study language, and it's a good jumping off point into the countryside where these children are living. And so then the next couple slides, we're going to compare a little bit about the city of Cochabamba and then where the kids are living, where the orphans are in Potosí. Cochabamba is known as the nation's granary. It's very economically active and progressive. It's growing. Its economy is fairly strong. It's known as the land of eternal springtime. And very beautiful weather all year round. Very good growing climate, so they can grow a lot of different crops there. And then, as we have thrown in there, home of the Cristo. You've probably seen a statue of Christ like this, but you've probably seen it as a picture of Brazil. And I just like to throw in there, since I'm from Bolivia, that this statue of Jesus is actually bigger than the one in Brazil. But it was is the largest one in the world at 33 meters high, and then somebody in Scandinavia built one like a third of a meter higher, so they could have the tallest. But anyway, so that's where we'll be living. And then the next slide is a picture of the city. You can kind of see it sprawled out in the valley there. It's kind of down into the hills of the Andes. It's about, well, I say hills, it's about 5,600 feet in altitude here. You can kind of see the trees and the mountains are fairly green there yet. But if you go on then to the next slide, we have a picture of North Potosí where these kids are living. And it's a much higher elevation. We'll see on the next slide that it's at between 10 and 13,000 feet, depending on where you are in that area. So you can't grow a whole lot. And so there's not a lot of an economy or industry going on there. And so because it's barren and mountainous, it has a very limited infrastructure. And travel can be difficult. People aren't necessarily able to communicate real easily from town to town, although that is improving because there have been a few mines that have opened up recently and they've improved some of that. But it's so isolated, it's one of the poorest areas of Bolivia. And Evangelical Church Missions has been working in that specific part of Bolivia for about 20 years now. We've been in Bolivia a total of over 60 years. From those 20 years, we have about between 20 and 25 congregations in the area. Then I just have that it's the location of the Casa de la Moneda. That's the mint, or was the mint of Bolivia, where they coined all their money. It was used by the Spanish before Bolivia had gained its independence. And it's there. I have it up here because it's a reminder to the people that once upon a time, Potosí was one of the richest areas in the world, if not the richest. It was said, like in the 1500s and 1600s, it was said that the city of Potosí had more wealth in it than like London or Paris or Madrid had. At that time, but now all of that money was silver is where that wealth came from, and now all that silver's been mined out and sent out to other parts of the world, and what's left is a struggling people, but who remember, you know, this is what we used to be, but now we're left with almost nothing. And then, of course, home to about 170 orphans living with very little hope. Next slide, just to refresh my memory. Here's some pictures just of the area, some of the churches that we have. And so we can just kind of go through these a little bit. Here's a worship service, a worship band. You can see some of the instruments they use, the way the men dress. And the next picture is one of the churches there. You can see that they have a wonderful roof, but it's in need of a little bit of repair. Dirt floor. The people there don't have a whole lot, but they're excited to have a place to come and worship together. And most of our churches there are in small, like farming communities. People might walk for miles just to get to church. And so when you're going to walk that far, you're going to make church and all the events, so they'll have their morning service, and then the next slide will show you their kitchen, and they'll have a potluck every Sunday where people will just bring whatever extra they have at home at the time, and they'll put it all together and eat before they go on and have their afternoon service, and then they'll walk home. And then I think the next slide, I don't think I mentioned, but it was up there on one of the earlier slides. The average temperature in Potosí is only around 46 degrees Fahrenheit. And that doesn't, Bolivia is close enough to the equator where your climate doesn't change very much throughout the year. So that's a fairly constant temperature. It'll get a little bit warmer in the daytime, and then at nighttime, it's so high up in the mountains, it'll drop below freezing pretty much every night. But this picture is of baptism service, and I always feel like this lady is very dedicated because I don't go swimming unless it's 80 or 90 degrees out. but just a picture showing that the brothers and sisters that live there are very dedicated to Christ, are excited to know Him and to share Him with those around Him, which then brings us to why are we going? About a year and a half to 2 years ago, there's a gentleman who works in Bolivia in this area for World Vision, and he's worked there for about 7 years now doing community development and helping them to develop some greenhouses and things like that so they can improve their diet. And but he became aware of these children that aren't didn't have parents attached to them, and so he did a survey to find out how many there are, and on his list he came up with about 170, 180 children who don't have adequate care at home. And when we use the term orphans in Bolivia or in Latin culture, an orphan is anyone who has lost one parent or more. And so some of these children have a mom or a dad that they live with, or they have an aunt. A lot of them are living with aunts, uncles, and grandparents. And then some of them are living on their own, scavenging for foods, looking for any place to rest that might give them enough shelter from the cold for the night. But every one of them that's on this list are children that have some of their basic needs are not being cared for. They might live with their grandmother, but if it's just their grandmother, they probably don't have any means for making any kind of money to buy any food or be able to grow any of their own food, or they might live with dad, but dad might be an alcoholic and he beats them. And so the guy from World Vision asked our church, Oblivion Church, there if they'd be willing to help work with World Vision to reach out to these kids. And so then the church in turn asked the mission, would you send somebody to help us do this? Again, they're people that are very willing and excited, I think, to reach out to their community and to reach out to those around them, but they don't necessarily have the means to do that. And so that's kind of what the mission is there for, is to work with them and with World Vision to help help the church people know how they can best disciple and reach out and come alongside these kids to help them with what they're doing. And so James 1:27 is the calling that I felt to missions, which is religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And you know, I think we live in a day and age where it's very, very popular. There's a lot of people who are out to do good, to help those in need. You know, you have groups that are anywhere from curing the diseases of the world to feeding the world to ending, you know, I know this last year, domestic violence has really been an issue that people have been dealing with. But you also find that a lot of those groups that are trying to deal with that are only looking after the orphans and widows, and they're forgetting about the part that if you really want to make an impact in the world, if you really want to be honoring God, you also need to be keeping oneself from being polluted by the world, or keeping Jesus front and center of everything that you're doing. And if you want to give, and so as Naomi and I go into Bolivia, we want to give these kids, you know, food and shelter and love, but we also want to give them hope, not just for today or tomorrow, but for eternity. And so we want to make sure that Jesus Christ is preached. One of the reasons that World Vision has asked the church to come alongside with them is that Bolivian laws are such that because World Vision is a foreign organization, but it's not a church, they cannot legally share the gospel while they're ministering physically to the kids. And so they want to bring a church in so that, because they're also concerned that the kids are also are nourished spiritually and not just physically. And so we're excited to get, you know, involved in that. The last few slides I have, and then Naomi's going to come up and share, are just some pictures of some of the children that, that we're excited to be able to get to meet here. You know, we haven't been in this area, Bolivia, before. I was able to take Naomi in 2011 to visit some places, but we didn't know about this area yet. And so just a few of the kids that we're looking forward to meeting. And then, you know, just as a couple, I guess, more examples. We're in conversation with this man, Eduardo is his name, who's been working there already, and he talked about, for example, a girl that he went to court in behalf of a few months ago, because there's no supervision in this area for these kids, and so some of the boys had ganged up on her, and so he was going to court on behalf of her. We talked about a boy who had broken his leg, and his grandmother had no idea what she should be doing, so he got them into the city to the hospital to get the legs set. When he brought them back, saw that they had absolutely no food in their house, and so he was able to give some food to them. But as he said, you know, he's just one person. He's been looking, able to kind of mentor and disciple three of these family groups, but there's so many more that we're hoping to, or that we're looking forward to getting the church plugged in with and reaching out to those. And so, so that's what we're excited. And then I guess one last slide that I did kind of forget about, but how can you be involved? And the very first thing that we're asking, and Dave already mentioned it, is to pray. And if you would pick up a prayer card, and just it's a nice reminder, and there's an opportunity where you can fill out your information. If you want to get updates from us to know how you can best pray, right now we're asking that people would pray. Pray that God will continue to watch over and care for the children. From what we understand, there's not a whole lot being done for them until we would get there. But we know that God is there with them, and then we're asking that God would continue to strengthen the vision of the church, that they would know exactly, he would lead them exactly in the way he wants them to go as far as this ministry is concerned. And then for Naomi and I, as we continue, and that we remain faithful to what God has called us to do. And that's the most encouraging thing to us, is to know that people are praying and alongside us as we go into this ministry. And then if you do feel the Lord leading you, there's opportunity to give on these cards. Dave mentioned shares. What a share is, I had a coworker who refers to it as missionary math. If you don't know, a share is it's a commitment of a monthly amount. And average is $25, but it can be less or more or whatever. We just ask that whatever the Lord asks you to do is what you do. And then I do have time on there too, to give time. And you know, our heart for kids is not just specifically to Bolivia, but it's to all the children in need. And the last 3 years, I was in a teaching position in Marion, Indiana. It was a middle school, Christian middle school. I could count, I think, on one hand, out of my 30 or so children or kids, students that I had, that the number of students that had a secure, stable home that they went home to at night. And just opened my eyes to the need that's around us, even here in the United States. And so we've been encouraging people that if you're not already involved in something, to go ahead and pray and see if the Lord would have you reach out to some child that needs just an adult who can come alongside of them and be that stable influence in their life. But And then I always say that I can't have a good missionary presentation unless I bring up the Great Commission in Matthew, but where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples wherever it is that we're going, whether it's down to the grocery store, whether it's we're staying at home and we have a family that we're raising, or whether it is to go pick up and move to another country, but remembering that we are to be discipling wherever we are. And that's my challenge for you this morning. I'm finished. Thank you very much. Naomi's going to come up, and she's going to share a little bit of her testimony of how God brought her to this place.